Good morning. Today's daf in Shavuos is Lamed Zayin. We are starting today the fifth parak of the Masechta, and we start with a new topic in Shavuos, and that's Shavuos HaPikadon. So let us first get familiar with the Pesukim. We are in the end of Parshas Vayikra, and I'm going to be reading a couple of Pesukim together. Vayidavar Hashem Moshe l'emor nefesh ki sechata. A person sins umal mal ba Hashem v'chichesh ba'amito, and a person denies to his friend. Right, ma'ala ma'al ba'ashem means that he was treacherous towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he denied towards his friend, b'pikadon. And what he did is he denied either having a deposit, or b'sumas yadar alone, or b'gezel, or something that he stole, or asher kasamito, or let's say he owed the person wages. So we have a scenario in which, basically, it's a monetary obligation. He owes somebody, and the person comes and he makes a claim against him, and he denies it. And or the Torah gives another example where, let's say, he finds somebody's lost item and approached by the owner of the item and he denies it. V'nishba al shakar, not only that, but he makes a shvur to the effect that he doesn't know it. Achas mikol asher yaseh adam lachato bahena, on any one of the things that are mentioned. V'ayaki yechteva Hashem, and then under the circumstances where he's found guilty. V'yeshivas egzeel asher gazal, o'os ha'oshak asher ashako, o'os ha'pikad asher hafkad, ito, o'os ha'aved asher matzah. So first things first, return the monetary obligation that you owe. O mikol asher yishava alav l'sheker, v'shilem aso b'rosho, pay it, meaning if you don't have the item, so then you're going to pay its value. V'chamishiso yosef alav. And on top of that, you also have to add another fifth on top of that, meaning a surcharge. That the Torah here requires a person to pay back what seemingly what is 20%, but it's really 25% of the value of the item that he stole. L'asher hu lo yinenu b'yamash maso, to the owner of it on the day that he was found guilty. V'es ashamo yavi l'ashem, and on top of that, you also have to bring a carbon asham. Ayel tamim and atzon, it's a male ram. Be'erkecha l'asham alakoin, at its value of an asham. As we're going to be learning later this morning, this carbon has a base amount value that a person has to spend on this carbon. And then the Kohen's going to bring it. It's going to provide slicha. It's going to provide divine atonement. For the thing that brought about the guilt. Yes. Ah, okay. Well, wonderful. I'm so happy you asked. Good. Okay. All right. With that in mind, so we are now. Right. It does not say vanelim anywhere in these pesukim. Okay. Good. We're clearly learning Masechta Shavuos. We're like looking for all the key. We're looking for the key words. Okay. With that stated, now we start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah is on the top or towards the top of Lamed Vav Lamed Beis and Shavuos HaPikadon. It's really good. That we are learning this parak immediately after the previous parak, meaning that we have now spent a couple of days, more than a couple of days, several days learning Shavuos HaEdus, and now Shavuos HaPikadon. You'll note a lot of striking similarities, you'll note a lot of striking distinctions. We're going to go a little too quickly today, but okay, that's just the way, that's the way the daf operates. It goes quickly. Shavuos HaPikadon noeges banashim uvanashim, it applies to both men and women, berchokim uvarkovim to relatives and non-relatives, other way around, non-relatives and relatives, b'ksherim uvapsum, those who are eligible to testify, those who are ineligible to testify, b'ifnei beizdin, uvishalo b'ifnei beizdin, and if you make the shavuah in and out of court, you're still going to be liable, mipi atzmo, and if you make the shavuah on your own, so then you're going to have a liability, whether it's done inside or outside of court. However, if it's done, if you're placed under oath, in other words, you're adjured, so according to Rav Meir, so then the denial is only going to bring about liability if only the adjournment is done in the Beis Din. And according to the Chachamim, no. Doesn't matter if you swear on your own, doesn't matter if you're adjured by others. Under all circumstances, you're going to be chayv, and seemingly both in and out of the courtroom. Okay, so the Mishnah over here talking about men and women, those who are disqualified to testify, those who are not disqualified to testify, we're not talking about testimony over here. We're talking about denying a monetary claim. But again, once you learn the previous parak, you understand. The previous parak was talking about Shavuos HaEdus. Shavuos HaEdus applies obviously only to men, not to women, because it has to do with testimony. It only applies to those men who are qualified to testify, not who are not qualified to testify. So since this perek follows immediately after the perek of Shavuos Eidos, so what the Mishnah is doing is making a clear demarcation line. Look, this is no longer about testimony. This is about denying somebody that you owe them money. So therefore, anyone has a monetary obligation when they take someone else's money. So it obviously applies to men and women and to relatives and non-relatives and those who can testify and those who can't testify, because this has nothing to do with testimony. This is all about a monetary obligation. Continuing now in the Mishnah, v'chayev al zdon hashvua. Now, a person would be chayev on zadon, on mezid. Now, probably a number of times I said by shvuah se'edus is the only time where you're going to be chayev a karban on mezid. Okay, so I get now a chance to qualify. There is one other exceptional time, but this is not a devar muskim. Not everyone agrees to this, and we're going to see this in the course of our perek. But at least according to our Mishnah is of the opinion that for shvuah ha'pikadon, even though you're mazed, you know you owe the individual the item. You know you have his item. You know he deposited by you. And whatever, you got caught in a lie. You're, in other words, inexcusable. You lied. So under those circumstances, the Torah still gives you an opportunity to bring a karban. And that's what the Mishnah is telling us. Chayv al zdon shvuah. You're going to be chayv in a case of mazed. Ve'al shigigaso im zdon hapikadon. Or let's say you were shogeg together with zdon hapikadon. You knew you had the item, but you didn't know the severity of what would happen if you swore falsely. However, if you're a total shogeg, you're not going to be chayv. Total shogeg, what does that mean? Like we discussed back in Shavuos Eidos, meaning that you legitimately forgot. I mean, legitimately, you totally forgot that the person gave the item to you. It totally escaped your memory. And now as you go over to him and say, look, I don't know what you're talking about, I don't have it. And you swear to that effect that you don't have it. If you were totally a shogeg, so under those circumstances, you're not going to be chayv a karban. My chayv al zdona. Now, if you intentionally violate this issur, what do you chayv? Asham, you have to bring a karban asham. Bekesef shkalim, and it has to be valued at 2 shkalim. This is gzeris akostav, that a karban asham has to be minimum 2 shkalim. 2 shkalim is a good amount of money. It's a healthy amount of money. I don't know how to put that in dollars and cents, but just to give you a sense of what 2 shkalim would be, annually we need to give to the Beis HaMikdash a chatzi shekel, machzis a shekel. So machzis a shekel annually to the Beis HaMikdash, it's obviously not nothing, and that's a half of a shekel. Here we're talking about a carbon that's valued a minimum of 2 shkalim. So it's got to be, it's a good amount of money. Contrast that to, just, and you'll see this throughout the perek, contrast to, let's say you're chayv a karban chatas, a regular karban chatas. How much does the karban need to be? No base amount. No minimum amount. You're going to see the Gemara use the word danka when describing it, right? A sixth of a shekel. But the truth of the matter is, right, the danka is valued at 1 ma. But the truth of the matter is, it just simply means that whatever you can fetch an animal for. For a karban chatas, there is no base minimum requirement of how much it should cost. By a karban asham, a special gzeres hakasov, that a karban asham has to go for a minimum 2 shkalim. Okay. Yeah, right. It's coming up. Meaning why doesn't the Mishnah present it right away? That's a good question, but it is going to come up. Shvuos ha'pikadon ketzad. And now that we got the basic rules, meaning so now we know when a person is chayv a karban shvuah, under what circumstances, but what exactly are the case, and how much a karban, and how much a shvuah ha'pikadon asham is going to cost. And now, some of the more basic rules coming up in the Mishnah, and that is what exactly would be a circumstance in which you'd be chayv a shvuah ha'pikadon, an asham for a shvuah ha'pikadon. Amar lo tenli piktoni, sheyesh li biyadecha. So, we start off with a really simple case where one person goes over to another and says, look, I gave you a pikadon. I gave you something to wash. Let me have it back. Shvua she'in lecha biyadi. And the response is, what do you mean? I swear I don't have it. What are you talking about? Oh, she'amalot ein lecha biyadi. Or let's say the conversation starts off immediately with a denial, not with a shvua. Mash b'yechani, and I put you under oath, v'amar amen, and he says amen. So arei ze chayev. So under those circumstances, you're going to be chayev. Remember, we discussed this in the previous parak, just as a quick reminder. By you saying amen, this is not being placed under oath. When you say amen, it is tantamount to you actually expressing and articulating the shvuah yourself. Amen is mushba mipi atzmo. It's you making the shvuah. Hishbi alav chamesh pamim. Let's say you were adjured 5 times, bein bifnei beisin, bein shelo bifnei beisin, whether it was done in or out of the courtroom, v'kafar, and you denied it, Chayv kol achas v'achas. Here, you're going to be chayv for everyone. Now, if you remember, you go back to Shavuos Eidos, so we had a similar circumstance where you were adjured five times in Beis Din and you denied, so you're only going to be chayv one time. Now, why are you only going to be chayv one time? So if you remember Shavuos Eidos, previous perek, the reason why is because with the first denial in court, so what is that now? That's testimony. In other words, when you deny in court, you are basically stating your case. So you are testifying in court. And what's the rule? Kevin Shehigah Shavin Chozer Magid. Well, once you say something, you can't recant on that which you said in court. But over here, this is not testimony. This is denying your money. Well, how many times can you deny your money? Even the same obligation. You can keep denying again and again and again. And why is each subsequent denial going to be significant? Watch what the Mishnah is going to say. I'm Rabbi Shimon Matam. What's the reason why repetitive denials is going to have a liability for each denial? Says the Mishnah, because what you can do is that after each denial, you can come clean. Since you have an opportunity to come clean, so your second and third and fourth and fifth denial are all going to be significant, and therefore you're going to have a liability for each one of the denials. Let's say the person, super popular, but I don't mean like a good popularity. I mean like a lot of people are coming over to him saying, hey, you owe me, hey, you owe me, hey, you owe me. And Amrulo, so the people that are all the creditors, all are taking him to court and together. And Amrulo, Tein Lana Pikadon Sheish Lana Biyadecha. Okay, this is not a loan case. This is a case of Pikadon, but in either event. And now he's in the court facing all the plaintiffs. And he turns around and he gives a blanket denial. Shvush Ein Lachem Biyadi. And he says on a blanket denial, no, I don't know any of you, anything. Well, everyone could please go away. Right? I don't know what you guys are talking about. Einu chayv al achas. Since it's a blanket denial, so on a technicality, since it's only, this is, even though it's multiple recipients of, is one blanket denial, but it's one denial, and therefore, he's only going to be chayv one carbon. Shvush ein lecha biyadi v'lo lecha v'lo lecha chayv al kol achas v'achas. If, on the other hand, he actually points to every one of the plaintiffs and he says, I don't know you, and I don't know you, and I don't know you. So even though it's done with one shvua, he's going to be chayv al kol achas v'achas. He's going to be chayv for everyone. So according to the Tanakhama, as long as the denial itself is being specified, even though there's only one shvua, he's going to be chayv for each one. Rabbi Lazar Omer, ashi omer shvua ba'achrona. Rabbi Lazar says that, no. In such a circumstance where the denial, the multiple denial with the one shvua is going to be chayav multiple karbanos is only when the shvua is put on the back end, not on the front end. So in other words, I don't know you, I don't know you, and I don't know you. Then followed up with the shvua, then and only then is he going to be chayav for each one. All this will be discussed and explained as we get through the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ad Shiyomer Shvua L'chol Echa Ve'Echad. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, neither. Meaning, if you put the shvua on the front end, you put the shvua on the back end, that's not going to arrive at multiple liabilities. When are you going to have multiple liabilities? Only in a scenario in which you deny and swear to each one of the plaintiffs. So let's say now it's one plaintiff going over to the guy and saying, I got so many things by you. Right, I have deposited an item by you. I have a loan by you. You stole something from me, which you're also holding. The Aveda and a lost item, which you're holding by me. Okay, I imagine the relationship over here is just wonderful between these two people. And Sheyesh L'Chabiyadi, Shvur Sheyen L'Chabiyadi, Einu Chai V'Lachas. Under those circumstances where he just simply, once again, gives a blanket denial. I say blanket denial over here. It's only one plaintiff, but it's multiple claims from the one plaintiff to this defendant. And the defendant just simply says, go away, I don't have anything. So under those circumstances, if that is his denial, coupled, of course, with a shvua, so then he's only going to be chayv one karbon. However, shvua she'en lecha biyadi, pikadon, tsumasyad, v'gezav aveda, if, however, he specifies each one of the claims, I don't have the deposited item, I don't have the loan, I don't have the thing that you claim that I stole, I don't have the lost item, so then chayv akol achas v'achas, then he's going to be chayv on each one. Now, all this should sound familiar because these are cases that are patterned exactly after the cases that we gave in the previous perek. So here, a really similar case where the claim now is going on different types of grains. Wheat, barley, spelt. I deposited it all by you, you're holding them all for me. And Shvur she'en lecha b'yadi, and he comes back with an oath, and he says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have any of it. Einu chayev ala acha. So under those circumstances, there's only going to be chayev one carbon, because again, it's a blanket denial. However, Shvur she'en lecha b'yadi, chitin sarim v'kusmim, chayev akol achas v'achas. If, however, he specifies each one of the grains, I don't have the wheat, the barley, the spelt, he's going to be chayev on each one, because he's specifying each one of the items that he's denying that he owes. Rabbi Meir Omer Afilo Amar Chita Usaora Vikosemes Chayva Kol Achas Vachas. Rabbi Meir says that even if the denial is going on Chita in the singular, Saora in the singular, and Kosemes in the singular, he's going to be Chayva on each one. The Gemara later on will discuss. Are we talking about one kernel? If we're talking about one kernel, hard to imagine that a kernel of a grain is a Shava Pruta. You're only going to be Chayva carbon when you're denying the amount of a Shava Pruta. So once again, stay tuned. The Gemara later on will discuss exactly what is the Shita of Rav Meir, why the Chachamim disagree with Rav Meir, all that to be explained later in the Gemara. Continuing in the Mishnah. Anasta upatiti esbiti. A person makes a claim against another person that you either violated or you seduced my daughter. Under those circumstances, there are now liabilities, multiple liabilities, meaning for either violation or for pituah, or for seduction, there's going to be there's a parsha in the Torah dedicated to this. There's a third parak of Ksuvos is dedicated to this. Third and fourth parakim of Ksuvos dedicated to this. We're only focusing on one aspect of it. Well, not one aspect, but we're just looking over here at the denial. If a person denies such a claim, now what is contained in such a claim? So there are two things actually contain such a claim. Number one, there's the bodily damages that are owed. The bodily damages which the daughter is the one who was victimized, but as we know, while a ketana or even as a nara, so all the earnings of the daughter are going to go to the father. So the father really is the address in terms of who is the plaintiff, who is the one making the claim. The defendant, on the other hand, so obviously that's the one who victimized, or at least is being alleged that he victimized, so he is now going to be chayiv what? So he's going to be chayiv on the bodily damages, that's a monetary claim, but he's also going to be chayiv a kenas as well. Meaning that for the ma'anis and for the mefata, he also has to pay a 50 shekel knas. So really, this claim now has two components to it. It is both knas and mammon. Under those circumstances, now what we're looking together in this Mishnah is that what would be in a case where the claim is going on mammon and knas. And in the Mishnah, in just a moment, we're also going to discuss cases which are exclusively knas. They're both going to come up. So anasta upatiti esbiti. So a person says, you either violated or seduced my daughter. It's either or, not both. V'hu amer lo anasti v'lo patiti. And he makes a denial. Mashbiach ani v'amer amen. So he puts him under oath and he says amen, which means that it's as if ki'ilu he swore himself. Chayev, under those circumstances, he's going to be chayev Rabbi Shimon poter. She'ena mashalim kenas api atzmo. Now Rabbi Shimon says, you're poter because this is a kenas case. To which Amar Lo, they say to Rabbi Shimon, Afa Pishin, Mishalam Kanas, Al Piatzmo, Mishalam Boshes Pagam, Al Piatzmo. And the rejoinder, and the response back to Rabbi Shimon is, what do you mean? It's both. In other words, the denial over here of Lo Patiti or Lo Anasti has in it both a Kanas element and a Mammon element. So what do you mean? Even if I'm going to give it to you that he's going to be exempt on the Kanas side of it, but there also are bodily damages, and he has to pay for that as well. The bodily damages include Boshes Pagam, the embarrassment, and the actual depreciation by converting her from a Besula to a Ba'ula. So under those circumstances, those are monetary obligations. So you're not going to be exempt for denying a monetary obligation, and you agree with me on that. And again, stay tuned. The Gemara is going to discuss what exactly is the give and take over here in the Mishnah. And we'll discuss that much further. Ganafta eshari v'hu amer lo ganafti. A person says, you stole my shore. Simple case of theft. And a denial. So under those circumstances, the denial is, with a shvuah coupled together, with a shvuah, obviously is going to result in a chiyuv. It'll create a liability where all the ramifications of swearing that you denied a monetary claim are in force. Simple. This obviously sets us up for the next case. Ganafti ava lo tavachti, v'lo macharti. Look, I stole it, but I didn't get to step B. What's step B? Either shechting it or selling it. We know that if you are ganav tavach or ganav machar, so on the ganav itself, you have to obviously pay back the keren, the principal value of the item. And then on top of that, if you compounded your theft with either shechting the animal or fencing it, selling it to somebody else. So under those circumstances, you have to pay dal vehei, four or five times that amount. That clearly is a kenas. So the person is making an admission on the geneva, but then on the tvicha, on the mechira, he's making a denial. So under those circumstances, that's pater. And that is exclusively kenas. Meaning there, he's admitting that he stole. So on the actual karen, on the principal value, he's making a full admission. I owe you the principal value. But then on the dal vehei, so he is denying that. That is a denial exclusively on kenas. So the Gemara says under those circumstances, he would not be chayiv. He wouldn't be chayiv the asham. Hey mishorcha es shori v'hu amar lo hey mis. So here we start off with a simple monetary claim. Your ox killed my ox. So, and he denies it. Mashbiachani v'amin chayiv. So a denial on a very simple, basic monetary claim. So of course you're going to be chayiv. Hey mishorcha es avdi. But now we move on to the next step, which is the claim is that your shor gored and killed my Evid Kanani. We know that under those circumstances, so there is a knas in place. Under these circumstances, since it is a knas that you have to pay, shloshim shkalim, you have to pay 30 shkalim for your ox killing somebody else's Evid Kanani, under those circumstances, your denial is not going to result in a chiyuv, because again, the denial is not on a mammon obligation, it's only on a kenas obligation. Again, we start off with a very simple monetary claim. You hit me, you wounded me, you owe me. And he says, nope, none of the above. Don't know what you're talking about. Denies it, swears to the effect that he doesn't owe that claim. So then, if he is now caught after the kfir, after the denial, and after the shvur, so then he's going to be chayev. Mashbiachani v'amamin chayev. Amalo avdo hi palta ishinai. V'simati es ini. If your Evid Kanani takes the owner to court and says, look, he knocked out my tooth, he knocked out my eye. And what's really that claim? The claim is freedom, emancipation. In other words, the Torah says that when an owner knocks out an extremity, a tooth, an eye, or any of the extremities of his Evid Kanani, so the Evid Kanani gains his freedom. And so, and how do we view that in halacha? We view that as a kenas, right? And why do we view that as a kenas? Because what am I damaging when I do that? I'm really damaging my property. So under those circumstances, I damage my own property. I don't, right? In other words, I don't lose my property for damaging my property, but for an Evid Kanani, the Torah is konas the owner for mistreating his Evid Kanani. So if he denies it and he swears to that effect, so he's going to be pater. And again, the pater is based on the fact that this is a kenas, this is not mamun. Zehaklal. And then as if we didn't get it already, but this is standard Mishnah style, in other words, throughout all the examples, it was very clear that a denial on a monetary obligation is going to be chayiv, a shvuos apikadon, and a denial on a kenas is not going to be chayiv. But just in case, the Mishnah then summarizes, okay, so then the Mishnah summarizes, and then, again, you've been around long enough, you know that the Gemara later on is going to ask the question, why do I need the summary statement? What is that coming to include? So, once again, there's a lot to do. Like other Perakim and Shavuos, all the Mishnahs are front-loaded. Okay, I don't know what happened in Masech to Shavuos. Generally speaking, what ends up happening is we cut the Mishnayos down to bite-sized portions, and then we say a little bit of Mishnah, and then we say a little bit of Gemara, and then that's how generally that's how the Limud works. In the first two Perakim, and now in the fifth Perak as well, for some reason, all the Mishnayos get front-loaded in the front, and then after now having tackled all the Mishnayos of the fifth Perak, so now we get to sit and chew on various portions of the Mishnah. And at Kedarko, we're going to go Keseder HaMishnah. We're going to start from the beginning of the Mishnah and move our way forward from there. We start with the Gemara. We're on the very bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Rav Acha bar Huna, Rav Shmuel b'rei de Rabba bar Bachana, v'Rav Yitzchak b'rei de Rav Yehuda tenu Shavuos be Rabba. Series three Amoraim are learning together Masech Shavuos in the Yeshiva of Rabba. Pagabu Rav Kahana, and they get visited by Rav Kahana. And Amar Lehu. We are now on the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. And here's how the dialogue begins. Hazed b'shvuos ha'pikadon. So let's say a person was mazed in shvuos ha'pikadon. Meaning, like we discussed in the Mishnah, We have oddity when it comes to Shavuos HaBikaron, and we have the same oddity by Shavuos HaEdus, and that you're going to be a Chayv HaKarbon in the case of Mezid. You know full well that you have the person's money. You know that you have the deposit. He comes over to you. He says to you, no, where is it? And now, knowing full well that you have it, you deny, you swear, you still have an opportunity to bring a Karbon.
Okay.
And now the Gemara wants to know, under those circumstances, let's ask a really simple question. Simple, great. Hezeh b'shvuos ha'pikadon v'hisrubo mahu. Let's say in a case of shvuos ha'pikadon where you, right before you swore, you were given asra, you were given a warning. And with this warning now, so you also have an eligibility not only to be chayiv a karbon, but also you have an eligibility for malchus as well. Look at the first Rashi on the Amud. He's a bishvuah. He becomes Israel b'mal chayv carbon o malchus o shnehem. So over here now we're looking at possible carbon, possible malchus, possibly both. The Gemara is going to spell it out. V'gam bishvuah se edus afagav dechayv nami mezid kishogeg leikel mibay hachbaye. Interesting, says Rashi, that you know we didn't ask this question in the previous parak. Meaning over here we asked the question, but in the previous parak we did not ask the question. So mishum de'ein hasras vada bishvuah se edus. Meaning, Rashi says it's really much of a technical problem when it's Shavuos HaEdus. Because by Shavuos HaEdus, what is happening right now? The witnesses are being subpoenaed, and we want to know whether or not they have information or they don't have information. Really, I'll say it simply. Right. Now, there's no way that we're going to know whether they do or they do not have information. This is not empirical. In other words, either they do have information or they don't. They really are more or less the owner of that information. Over here, we're talking about whether or not something was deposited by them. Okay, that's empirical. Meaning, and we could have a pair of witnesses who clearly saw the item being deposited by the defendant, and now the witnesses say, look, we know you have it. Meaning, what are you going to do now? You're going to lie? Don't do that. Don't lie. It's an issur in the Torah. So in other words, the Rashi just simply points out from a technical standpoint, you could have asra by Shavuos HaBikaron. It's just from a technical standpoint, you can't have asra by Shavuos HaEdus. Okay. What about the fact that you're getting malchus on a lav shein b'maisa? Right. This is a lav that does not have an action to it. It's just verbal. But as we pointed out, that by Shavuos Bitui, by Shavuos Shav, on something on Sha'avar, so you're eligible for Malchus, and I suppose, I mean, the Gemara doesn't spell it out, but I suppose the same thing's true over here. Meaning that by Shavuos HaPikadon, by you making a Shavuos on something that was historical, I don't know what you're talking about, you never deposited the item by me, and he's swearing falsely, so once again, obviously, there's going to be an eligibility for Malchus. So, question on the table, such a wonderful question, in that, in a case where we know that there's a carbon eligibility for Mezid by Shavuos HaPikadon. We also know that if given warning, you're going to get Malchus. So now what happens if we have convergence? What happens in a scenario where the person is both swearing falsely b'Mezid and right before having sworn, received a warning that you're not allowed to do that? So now what is going to happen? And the Gemara now spells it out. Kevan Mahu. Kevin the Khidish of the Bhola Tor Lashkan Mazid the Maisi Carbon, Vahi Maisi Carbon, Loshna Asrube, Veloshna Asrube, Loshna Lo Asrube. On one hand, look, this is such a novel idea that a person is in fact going to be able to bring a carbon in a case of Mazid. Now here the Gemara refers to it as a Khidish, meaning it's such a novel idea. Khidish usually means it never happens anywhere else in Halacha. Now we know that that's not in fact the case. In fact, the previous parak, we had a case of a person bringing a carbon, even in the case of Mezid, and that's by Shavuos HaEdus. Rashi notes there are other cases as well. So even though the Gemara makes it sound like this is unique and this is the only time that it happens, it's not. All the Gemara simply means is it's rare. We're in rare halachic territory where you're going to bringing a carbon in a case of Mezid. Parenthetically, see Rashi for other cases where you're going to bring a carbon to Mezid. There are actually other cases. It's good trivia, not trivial, God forbid, but it's good trivia, right? What are the number of cases that a person brings a carbon in a case of Mezid? Anyway, see Rashi over here where Rashi cites two other cases. In the meantime, So the Gemara says, Lo shna asur bay, lo shna lo asur bay. Oh, dilma hani mi lehecha de lo asur bay. Or the Gemara says, maybe no. Maybe you only bring a carbon when there was no hasra. Ava hecha de asur bay, milkalaki carbon lo maisi. Maybe the only time you bring a carbon is if there's no malchus. But in a case where there's malchus, notably when you received warning not to do that, immediately after being issued the warning, you accept the warning, you say, oh, I know what the consequences are. And you swear falsely. So maybe under those circumstances, you're going to be chayv a carbon, but maybe under those circumstances, you are going to be receiving malchus, and you don't bring a carbon. And then, of course, odilma hava avidna. Or maybe, of course, the possibility exists that maybe both. Maybe you're going to be receiving malchus, and you're going to be bringing a carbon. Now, multiple punishments for one action. So generally speaking, we say no to that. That's the concept known as kimle b'derabim minei. But over here, obviously, the Gemara is not bothered by kimle b'derabim minei for a very simple reason. Because over here, when do we say that Beis Din only gives one punishment? That's only when Beis Din is giving the punishments out. Over here, karban is not a Beis Din punishment. Karban is between you and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a kapara. So in other words, a kapara and malchus are not steerers to one another. You can ease it. The Gemara is entertaining this. You're going to be receiving malchus, and you'll also have to bring a carbon as well. If Beis Din were to give malchus and to put somebody to death, or to give malchus and to give a financial punishment, that's shtei reshuyos. That's two punishments by Beis Din. That's a no-no. But over here, malchus and a carbon, the Gemara is comfortable entertaining this. It does not violate the rules of Risha Achas, or otherwise known as Kimle. Amarle Tanina. So the Gemara says, okay, and so here's what we're going to be doing now for a good part of this Amud, and that is exploring this question. In a case where, Shvus HaPikadon, and there's normally a carbon liability, and you received a warning not to do it, and now there's also a Malchus liability as well. So what happens now when a person's looking at both carbon and Malchus? What actually happens? Amale Tanina. So the Gemara starts off the discussion with, well, let's quote the following Braisa. So the Braisa says, Shuasa Bikadim is more chamer than Shuasa Edus. Here is the Mishnah in the Braisa. This is the Braisa. The Braisa doing its classic style of shopping comparisons. Meaning, but in other words, it's just highlighting differences that exist between various Shavuos. Here we're highlighting the difference between Shuasa Bikadim versus Shuasa Edus. Shuasa Bikadim is more chamer. In that, if you do so intentionally, malchus. If you do so unintentionally, carbon. So mid the karmelayal dona malchus mechlal dasra bay. So if we're having a malchus discussion, obviously he got asra. The kamra malchus in carbon lo. So the Gemara says, and what it sounds like is that you're only getting malchus to the exclusion of a carbon, meaning that if you got a warning, you're going to get malchus, but you don't bring a carbon. Umay chumra. And the Gemara says, and now, under what circumstances do we call that now more chamer? Because if anyone was given the option, here are your choices right now. Either we're going to strap you to a pole and whip you, or you bring a carbon. So generally speaking, most people would say, I'll choose carbon, right? I'd prefer not to get whipped. That is a normal circumstance. So here, it's a chamer in the sense that the Torah is saying no. That in the case where you were warned, you're going to be receiving malchus and you're not going to be bringing a carbon. What we get from here is now the sense that, the very clear sense, that in a case where you were warned, you're going to be getting a malchus to the exclusion of having to bring a carbon. So, Amalei Rava Bar'iti Man Tanas Don Shvuos HaBikadon Lo Nitan LeKapara Rabbi Shimon. So, Aval Rabban Karban Name Maisei. So the Gemara says, okay, but we don't have conclusive proof. Why? Because as I pointed out in the beginning of the shiur today, the idea that we're bringing a carbon shuos epikadon on mezid is certainly our Mishnah's position, but it's not a davar muskam. Not everyone agrees to that. There is a Tana, Rabbi Shimon, who says that you do not bring a carbon on mezid. You only bring a carbon on shogeg. So it could very well be that the author of the Braisa over here is Rabbi Shimon, and obviously our question is not working within Rabbi Shimon, because according to Rabbi Shimon, in the case of mezid, there's only malchus, and there is no carbon. So fine. So if the Braisa is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon, that works out very good, but that doesn't address our question. Because our question is according to the Chachamim, where you're chayv a carbon in the case of Mezid, and then you were also warned, what's going to happen now where there is both carbon and Malchus eligibility? That's our question. And assuming now that the Braisa is going like Rabbi Shimon, our question obviously is not answered. Amalu Rav Kahana Bar Mina Dahi Daani Tanina La V'Hachi Tanina La. To which Rav Kahana says, leave the Brisa also out of the discussion. I taught the Brisa and the Brisa, and I taught the Brisa in the following manner. Echad Zdona V'Echad Shigagasa Asham B'Kesef Shkalim. So whether it's Bezadon or whether it's Shogeg, the Asham, the carbon itself, is going to be two Shkalim. Amai Chomra. And the Gemara says, and now that the Brisa is only addressing the carbon aspect of it, meaning, according to Rav Kahana's version of the Brisa is not even talking about Malkus. It's just talking about the carbon. And now the Gemara says, now, if we're just talking about the carbon, what's the Chomer? The Chomer is the money that you have to lay out. Umay Chomer di'ilu asam chatas bas danka, v'acha asham kesef shkalim. So the Gemara says, well, in other words, by shvus ha'edus, you have to bring, if you can afford it, meaning if you are an asher, so you bring a carbon, but a regular carbon chatos, and a regular carbon chatos, the Gemara describes as being bazdanka. Bazdanka is a coin, it's a ma'ah, but it just simply means, basically you buy an animal on the cheap. Whatever animal you could buy, whatever price is acceptable. When it comes to an asham, so again, as I pointed out in the beginning of the shir today, gzeres hakasav, that an asham has to be a minimum of shtei shkalim. So that's a chumrah. That's obviously a chumrah in that you just have to lay out more money by the carbon for the shvuos pikadon over that of the carbon of the shvuos eidus. Veligmar mina. So the Gemara says, okay. So the Gemara says, so now, but at least you see that there's a carbon, even the case of mezid. So the Gemara says, dama dala asur bay. So the Gemara says, you're right. There's a carbon. But the Brisa doesn't tell us whether there was a warning or whether there was no warning. It could be the Brisa is only addressing a scenario where there was no warning. Under those circumstances, you bring a carbon. But again, as far as our question is concerned, what would happen if there was a warning? And now there's Malkus, so now what happens? Do we give the Malkus? Do we not give the Malkus? Do we give both? So again, our question is still an open-ended question. Lishna. The Brisa we just learned. The Brisa of the Gemara just quoted. Yes. Yeah. And that's why the Gemara says, and now that the Brisa is not talking about Malkus, it's just talking about carbon, what's the Chumra? That's the Gemara's question. Umay Chumra. And the answer is the amount of money you put out.
But the Brisa says, Chayim also doing no Malkus.
That's the original version of the Brisa. Rav Kahana says, I have a different version.
Also, Rav Kahana is arguing with them. The version of the Brisa?
That's what it sounds like, yes.
And maybe there's two different Brisas. Rav Kahana said that it's another one.
Okay, it could be, but we don't know, but Rav Kahana obviously knew. He said, this is how I taught the Brisa.
And okay. You learned it wrong, that's why he's telling you.
Yeah, he said, yeah, exactly. Lishna Achrina, the Gemara now is going to do the same thing, but slightly different version. And in this slightly different version of the Gemara, we turn to our Mishnah. Tashmain chayavna shigasa mahin chayavna zdona asham bekesef shkalim. So our Mishnah just simply tells us, what is a person looking forward to? I don't mean that in the positive way. What do you look forward to after you deny and swore falsely? So the Mishnah tells us, you know what you're looking forward to? A carbon of kesef shkalim. So my love bedasurbe. And again, we don't know, but the Gemara just is suggesting that there was a warning. And in terms of the Havamina, by the way, meaning it is an excellent Havamina, where is all this taking place? Most often, it's taking place in Beis Din. So one can easily envision that before the person makes a shvua, Beis Din says, can we just slow down for a moment? You're about to make a shvua that you deny owing this money. You understand that you're swearing falsely in court. Swearing falsely is an issur in the Torah, subject to Malkus. So, meaning in the Havamina, the Gemara is saying, look, the Mishnah doesn't spell out that there was Asra, but there was probably Asra, wasn't there? And if that's true, what the Mishnah now is telling us, that even with Asra, it only brings about a carbon liability. So, Hachanami de lo Asra, and the Gemara says, okay, that's a good Havamina, but not necessarily. The Mishnah could be talking about a case where there was no Asra. Tashma, the Gemara, once again, tries to learn it out. Lo imamart benazir tami sheken loke. Tomer b'shvus b'kadon she'eno loke. Now, the Gemara really throws us right into the middle of a brisa. Like, in other words, the brisa over here clearly had a discussion comparing nazir tami to shvus b'kadon. Not clear to me, quite frankly, what exactly the genesis of the brisa was. For our purposes right now, all we need to see is just simply the one line that the Gemara is quoting from the brisa. And the Brisa says, look, by Nazir Tameh, you'll get malchus. Meaning for the Nazir who becomes Tameh, he's subject to malchus. Tameh b'shvus b'kadam she'ein aloke. And then the Brisa says, but by shvus b'kadam there is no malchus. That's the line of the Brisa. So clearly, whatever the discussion was trying to assess, clearly the Brisa had as a fundamental argument that there's no malchus when it comes to shvus b'kadam. So, midikamer loke mechlal dasru bay. Now, if the nazir is getting malchus, clearly that means there was a sra. Vikamer tomer b'shvus b'kadam she'ein aloke. And so, and the Brisa now is contrasting, but you know, by shvus b'kadam you're not going to get malchus. And aval karban maisi, but obviously you're bringing a karban. My ain aloke, the ain no nifta b'malchus. Sorry, that's already the answer. So before I get to that, so clearly now from this Brisa, we're not getting malchus even if there was a warning. So, and that would seem to answer our original question, Rav Kahana's question, what happens when there is a warning? Are you going to bring a carbon and get malchus? It sounds like right now the answer is no. You only bring a carbon, you don't get malchus. So the Gemara says, my eino loke, de eino nifter b'malchus. So the Gemara says, no, you know what the Brisa means? The Brisa means malchus is not enough. Meaning, by shvus b'kadam, if you were warned, you're going to get malchus. But the story is not over yet. Meaning, and now you want full kapara? Oh, for that, you're going to have to bring a carbon. That's what the Brisa means. So the Gemara says, okay, but then let's contrast that with the Nazir Tameh. A Nazir who becomes Tameh, b'mezid, with a warning. So now what? He's going to get malchus, and he also has to bring a carbon as well. So we're trying to contrast them, but the truth of the matter is, they're the same. So the Gemara, and the Gemara asks exactly that question. Mechlad the Nazir Tameh nifta b'malchus. How carbon k'siv bay? So the Gemara says, and isn't there a carbon by Nazir Tameh? So the Gemara says, and we've seen this not so long ago in the Gemara. Gemara says, yes, there's a carbon by Nazir Tameh. The carbon over there has nothing to do with Kapara. The carbon over there is just to reboot his Nazirus. That's why he brings a carbon. So the Gemara says, though, as far as the Kapara is concerned, that is accomplished through the Malchus. The carbon over there is just that he could start over again. Fine. So the Gemara says, so, still, open-ended question on the table. In a case of Shvuah Sapikadon, when you make a denial and right before your Shvuah, you're issued a Asra warning, don't lie under oath, and you are Zadon in your Shvuah, so are you going to be bringing a carbon and getting Malchus? Are you going to bring a carbon, no Malchus? Do you get Malchus and maybe no carbon? Where do we stand right now? The question is open-ended, and the Gemara has not yet resolved this question. Amru Rabbanan Kamei D'Rabba Amar Lehu Mechlal D'Chilo Asur Bei V'Ika Eidem Mechayev. So, Rabba says, look, I'm not going to answer the question here. I'm not here to answer the question. But I am going to make, though, however, a simple observation. We are now talking about a case of a warning. Now, the warning is being issued by witnesses, and the witnesses saw what? What they saw was the event, obviously. Meaning, we are talking about a pair of witnesses who know that what he's about to say is false. That means now that the person is making a denial, even though there right now stands two witnesses who actually saw the event. Now there are denials and then there are denials. Right. There are denials and then there are denials. If nobody saw what happened and what occurred, and I decide that, you know what, I'm going to deny it. That's a denial. Meaning, because right now, the only people who know this are the plaintiff and me, the defendant. And I want to deny it. Okay, now we're talking. Meaning, everyone understand, I'm not condoning, just simply, you know, I'm highlighting that that's a significant denial. But if a pair of witnesses saw me receive the item, and then I want to deny it, come on. Meaning, I can deny it all I want. When all said and done, the witnesses are going to testify that I was received the item, that's not a denial. So Rabbi over here, not answering the question of carbon, malchus, both, but just simply addressing, wait a second. If there are witnesses who are ready to issue a warning, so that means that there are a pair of witnesses who know that you received the item. What kind of denial are we talking about? And that's exactly Rabba's point. So, Amru Rabbanan Kamei D'Rabba Amru Lehu Mechlad D'Chilo Asur Be'Vika Eidem Mechayev Kfiras Devarim Ba'almahu. Kfiras Devarim Ba'almahu. They're just words. They're not a denial. Amakasav Rabba. And what Rabba's really saying is, this is not the kind of denial in which you're going to be chayv a shvuah sapikadam. In other words, the denial has to be significant. This is not significant. Kfir Star Dvarim Ba'alma. It's of course not right what you're doing, but it's not significant.
There's no penalty for that.
There's no carbon penalty. I mean, no. Once the witnesses come forward and say, you owe the money, you're going to owe the money. Correct. But in other words, it does not, as far as a denial is concerned, this does not reach the level in which you're actually denying. It doesn't qualify as an actual denial. And the Gemara now says, so Rabba says, look, basically now we're leaving the previous question unanswered, but now it moves us to this new topic of what happens when you deny again in the face of witnesses. So Amalei Rav Chanina le Rabba Tanya de Masai Elach. So the Gemara says, and now I'm going to bring a brisa to support this as well. And what the Gemara now is going to do from this point going forward is generate now the following discussion, which is, what happens when you deny in the face of witnesses? Is that considered a denial, yes or no? Rabbi says it does not. This is not a denial, capital D. It's a lowercase denial, lowercase d denial, and it does not merit a karbon. It does not obligate you to have to bring a karbon, and the Gemara is going to be spending the rest of the daf discussing this point of Rabbah. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up.